Can the United States truly be called a democracy? Today I'm reading an article that argues that such is not the case. The article compares 18th century Britain and 21st century America, arguing that both are plutocracies hiding behind a thin veneer of democratic sounding laws and principles. The article is entitled, Here's Why America's Constitution Won't Save Us from Trump, by J.M. Opel, Associate Professor of History at McGill University. When it comes to our democracy, problems at home were much like the 18th century Britain, Opel begins. A decade ago, as the scale of the disaster in Iraq began to sink in, American historians often compared the United States to ancient Rome. Both seemed to suffer from an imperial disease whose symptoms began with overreach and ended in collapse. This is a useful way for Americans like me to consider our troubles abroad. But when it comes to our democracy's problems at home, the closer parallel is with 18th century Britain. Britons of that time enjoyed many liberties unknown to their favorite bogeyman, the French. These freedoms had many roots, including the Magna Carta of 1215, the Bill of Rights from 1689, and various parts of English common law. Most Britons saw their country as God's favorite and thanked their constitution, a general term for established forms of law and government, for their rising glory. Yet for all the liberties it tolerated, that Constitution's real goal was to shield wealth and privilege from popular demands. In the House of Lords, the privileged group was the aristocracy that still owned about 80% of all the arable land in England. In the House of Commons, the favored ones were rising merchants, bankers, and industrialists. Together, these old and new elites ran the show. For example, British law treated labor organizations as conspiracies, while respecting the fortunes that stockholders made as untouchable. A brutal criminal code complemented a draconian view of poverty. Strict suffrage laws and rotten boroughs insulated real power from the political circus, not to mention the angry crowds that rose up against everything from low wages to high bread prices and to anti-poaching laws. In 1870, a crowd of perhaps 60,000 rampaged through London, at first targeting Catholics, but quickly moving on to the Bank of England and the notorious Newgate Prison, where they said their honest comrades were held. Once the storm passed, though, nothing changed. By then, the American revolutionaries had given up on the British model. They dreamed of a republic, literally the public thing, where the common good overruled selfish demands and private interests. After the American Revolution, this U.S. Constitution of 1787 seems to fulfill these hopes by rejecting aristocratic titles and naming the people as the basis of authority. Yet the same Constitution protected both slaveholders and bondholders. It prohibited all kinds of popular interventions into the economy, and it arranged the federal government so that the general will of the population was divided, filtered, and ultimately restrained. In this sense, it simply updated British constitutional forms for American conditions, in which land was plentiful, labor was scarce, and white skin rather than high birth conferred status. During periods of democratic renewal, such as Reconstruction, the New Deal, and the Civil Rights era, American politics pushed the constitutions beyond its original intentions. In these creative moments, active citizens shaped a more just society. But over the last 50 years, another alliance of old and new has taken up arms, sometimes literally, behind the constitutional bulwarks, rolling back much of that progress. This alliance includes the white voters who keep their traditional supremacy through gerrymandered districts, restrictive voting laws, and mass incarceration of non-white people. It also includes corporate interests that halt efforts to protect workers and the environment, say nothing of sick, poor, and elderly Americans. The plutocrats not only decide elections with their campaign contributions, but also write legislation through their lobbyists. As a now-famous study from 2014 empirically shows, majority needs and wishes in the United States have virtually no impact on public policy, regardless of which celebrity candidate wins office. In America now, just as in Britain then, most people object. They would rather have clean air and water, secure jobs and pensions, and a fair distribution of wealth. They would rather not see most of their fellow citizens living one paycheck to the next, nor watch school children prepare for their next mass shooting. They appear to live in a good society rather than a great power. But in America now, just as in Britain then, the political system won't allow it. Even if non-white majorities pile up in some congressional districts, the Senate and Electoral College will neutralize them. Even if dozens of Bernie Sanders acolytes get into office, their ideas will run aground in congressional committees awash in corporate influence. And if progressive hopes ever made it onto the books, federal courts stocked with hard right judges will strike them down, no matter what kind of blue wave arrives in 2020, 2024, or even 2040. In short, there is no reason to assume that under the current Constitution, the demographic and cultural challenges of the past generation will fundamentally challenge Donald Trump's America. After all, the British Constitution of the 1700s held firm through much of the 1800s, despite the upheavals of the Industrial Revolution. It gave ground in periodic reform acts, but otherwise kept democracy at bay. The people had to settle for their pride in their empire, their disdain for other countries, and their sense that as Britons, they're at least free to start over in Canada or Australia or even the United States. This article is entitled, Here's Why America's Constitution Won't Save Us from Trump, by J.M. Opel, Associate Professor of History at McGill University. The article was originally published on The Conversation.
You're trying to tell me capital has won at last. Anyone who's not convinced has just been shown the door. You're trying to tell me competition turns the wheels. Smart money never deals in welfare anymore. Survival of the fittest keeps the species strong. Change is always painful, but it doesn't last too long. Excuse me, friend, I think you could be wrong. When some of us are free to rise and some are free to fall, all of us are under the dictatorship of capital.